Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from Christ Jesus, our Savior and King. Our sermon this morning is entitled Ein fester Berg, which in German is a mighty fortress. And it's taken from the Gospel of St. John, the 8th chapter, with these words. Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." This is the word of our Lord. Well, imagine with me this Reformation morning that you are in a very separate town, in a very separate place, dare I say, even a town in history, Eisleben, Germany, and the year is 1483. A young father is carrying a little bundle in his arms very carefully, and you hear the clip-clop of the horse's hooves. You can smell the visceral outdoors, the main square, and all the vendors in the marketplace. The crunch of the stony ground underfoot lends urgency to the father's foot strides as he rushes in the cold to the church door. There he swings the big door open and steps inside, looking for the priest, ready to ask for God's favor on his little bundle in his arms. And he pulls back the blankets and the cloth, and it reveals a smiling face of a newborn baby. You see, the day that I described to you was the day of Martin Luther's birthday. And it also was the very day in which he received the sacrament of holy baptism. Well, let me tell you, because it was Martin Luther's parents, Hans and Marguerite Luther, who from that town in Eisleben decided to move for the sake of their children, they moved to the town of Mansfeld. Why? Because there their children can go to the finest school, the Latin school there. Even Martin, their firstborn, was very much set on a pedestal by his father that one day he would become a lawyer. And so Martin studied hard, and he attended church and school regularly in pursuit of his father's dreams. He learned his lessons. He advanced well in his grades, and all along the way, Martin began to learn of this holy and supreme and almighty God who made righteous demands on him. But as it was, Martin never felt in all his studies and all his service to God, Martin never felt that he could measure up to the very requirements of God's law. In fact, all he ever felt was that God was mad at him. Well, it was eventually Martin was accepted into the university to be a lawyer. And Martin went to his parents' house to share the good news, and then he left for school. But it was on the road that he was beset upon by a terrible thunderstorm, and a life-threatening crash of lightning threw Martin off his horse, and he fell to the ground. And in fear for his life, he made a vow before God. He said, "If I live, if you spare my life, I will enter the monastery and become an Augustinian monk." The course of Martin Luther's life was changed forever. Having to set aside the dreams of being a lawyer, he threw himself into the work of a monk. Prayers and cleaning, fasting and private confession became his daily life. But still he felt he could not meet the demands of the Almighty God. Once Martin was ordained, he was given the responsibility of celebrating the Holy Eucharist. But even in this highly divine moment in the presence of God, Luther felt as if he was damned to to the hellfire and destruction before God's judgment. What was vexing poor Martin? I believe it was the very words that we heard from our gospel reading. You see, Martin Luther realized all too well that he was a slave to sin. He was committing sins in his thoughts, in his words, in his deeds, and the guilt weighed heavily upon him. So month after month, Martin applied himself to punishments and rigorous discipline. He even took a holy pilgrimage to Rome. And it was that this monk made much satisfaction. But even after all that effort in his Christian actions, Martin knew full well that they did not outweigh the tremendous landslide of his sinful life. So his mood went from bad to worse. And this is when his mentor and friend, John Staupitz, took notice of Martin. And he approached him and said, "Martin, what vexes you, my son?" And Martin pleaded with him, telling him he did not feel at all connected to God. In fact, daily he felt the weight of God's judgment. And so it was that Staupitz taught Luther how to approach the Lord in prayer, how to rightly repent of his sins. And I hope you caught it as we were beginning our time together here in God's presence, in confession, in absolution. Because you may notice the very words in which we confess, they center us rightly on how to pray, on how to confess our sins to God. You know what they do? They focus us immediately on our Savior. You see, what Staupitz taught Luther is, yes, the rote actions of repentance are fine and good, like the very liturgy of the divine service. But truthfully, you must think, what am I doing in this time of repentance? What am I doing in this corporate confession? Am I going through the motions? Or am I actually, truthfully confessing my sins to God? You see, Staupitz taught a very important factor in repentance. That it is not a matter of action before God that makes you right with Him. No, it is a matter of the heart and faith. You see, that echoes the very words of Jesus, that God does not want your sacrifice. He wants your heart and life with Him. And so the legacy that Martin Luther has left us on this Reformation Day is that together as the body of Christ, as the very Christian church today, we humbly and fearfully, on an every Sunday basis, submit ourselves into the hands of our Savior. And this is the question I ask you. When we confess our sins before God, are you asking Jesus to mercifully forgive you of all your sins? Because dare I say, that is the one thing that Martin Luther had missed his entire life. Because he had not been taught the beautiful gospel that we heard from our second reading. Let me read that part for you. It says, "A righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. It is this: the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe." You see, this gospel is for you and for your children. The truth that sets you free. That it is Jesus to whom we confess our sins, all of our sins. And we ask Jesus to be merciful to us. And do you know what our Lord does? Do you know how He saves us? You see, when we confess our sins to God, it is Jesus who goes to the throne of heaven, who speaks to the Father on our behalf, and Jesus fully declares that redemption has been won. Do you know how? By the very sacrifice of His blood upon the cross. You see, it is Jesus who declares before his Father and all of heaven that you have been justified because of what Jesus has done. You see, this is the very lesson that Martin Luther needed so desperately to hear, the lesson that he finally learned when he read and studied and taught those very words of the book of Romans. You see, once Luther became a professor, he began teaching this wonderful gospel year after year at the University of Wittenberg. And as he studied this truth, this beautiful gospel of God's word, it all became clear that what a Christian does as he enters into the sanctuary of God, in fact, he can do this any day of the week, any day of his life. A Christian may enter into the presence of God and kneel at the feet of Christ and lay all of his or her sins at the feet of Jesus, our Savior. And then we pray through faith in this way: Lord Jesus, forgive me. Only you, dearest Lord, can accomplish what I cannot. Only your grace can set me free. Teach me your blessed and holy scriptures that I may know that your mercy is for me. Thank you, O Lord, for redeeming me and granting me your salvation. And Lord, I pray, increase my faith that by the power of your Holy Spirit, I may take refuge in you all the days of my life. May I know you to be my Savior, that I may daily rest in the very protection that you, dear Jesus, provide as my mighty fortress and my deliverer, my God in whom I trust. May this very loving and Christian relationship with God that Martin Luther once learned be your relationship with God, your Savior, today. In his holy and precious name of dear Jesus, amen. And now may the grace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Savior and our King. Amen.